Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm Katie, Publicity and Outreach Director with Wild Virginia. And today we have Jessica Sims on the line, who is a Virginia Field Coordinator. At Voices is an environmental organization that partners with Wild Virginia. They focus on ending mountaintop removal, cleaning up coal ash pollution, and promoting renewable energy and energy efficiency. So Jessica has been integral to the pipeline fight, both the Atlantic Coast and Mountain Valley pipelines, and she has a lifelong passion for protecting Virginia's waterways. So Jessica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Great. And so, you know, a lot has happened in the fight against the Mountain Valley pipeline. We're going to talk about some updates or where we're at in the process there, but I thought that we could start on where your start in the fight against these pipelines started.
I, as you mentioned, am very deeply invested in issues that impact the waterways of Virginia. I'm from the Richmond area. And so I first got more closely involved in organizing around environmental issues when there was a large coal ash fight going on in multiple places in Virginia where Dominion Power was attempting to, and in the case of Quantico Creek, did release some of the wastewater that is on top of the coal pond into a waterway. And so there was work being done to prevent that from happening again and to make sure that that dewatering was not putting something harmful into the waterways, which included the Potomac and the James River. So my experiences have generally been around water and river cleanup, organizing and volunteering with the James River Association. But that was my first chance to kind of get an idea of how policy is playing into it and some other ways to organize around issues. So through the coal ash fight, I became more familiar with the two pipelines proposed at the time, ACP and MVP. And so I started off just kind of learning on my own and then was able to plug into some great organizations and all of the wonderful resources they had made available to learn more about the issue. So in 2016, I was learning and figuring out the best ways I could support those fights. So got to do a lot of great work as a volunteer for the Chesapeake Climate Action Network and learning from groups like Wild Virginia and Appalachian Voices and the Power Coalition, who's leading the fight against the Mountain Valley Pipeline. So that gave me a sort of a opportunity to connect with an organization to support both the ACP and MVP fight. And I worked as a volunteer lead for Chesapeake Climate Action Network before my time at Sierra Club. So really have come to this issue as a volunteer and someone that was just personally interested in protecting Virginia's waterways and have had the great opportunity to connect with lots of wonderful people and wonderful groups who are doing really critical work to keep our environment safe and our future healthy.
Well, and I love that you started as a volunteer because I feel like so many of the times we have people who are passionate about protecting Virginia's waterways or helping to combat climate change, but they're not really entirely sure on where to plug themselves in. And so starting as a volunteer is a really great option. And, you know, with your fight, you know, with the coal ash originally, and sort of feeling close to an organization like Dominion or fighting against an organization like Dominion. Tell me about the feeling of the ACP shutting down and what that felt like and, you know, how we can keep the momentum going to fight the Mountain Valley Pipeline.
Yeah, I was recently reflecting on this and all the years of incredible hard work that brought those 1,000 cuts that led to the ACP's cancellation. I was describing to someone all the types of expertise and community-led work that went into pushing back against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and just how incredible it was to see everybody working so hard collaboratively to fight that project. And my appreciation for the communities that were leading the fight, for the Black and Indigenous leaders that made sure that the conversation, the fight continued, and we have so many people to thank for all of that work. If I think back to how Dominion pushed that project and framed it as something that was a done deal from day one, they messaged around it being a done deal. And so that's one thing I think about when I'm reflecting back on July 5th, 2020. None of these are a done deal. And that collective community power can topple a project from Virginia's monopoly utility. What it was so and continues to be really special is the cross collaboration between all the folks fighting the ACP and fighting the MVP. And I think it was just a beautiful moment to get to celebrate that ACP victory and to pivot that passion and experience and collective collaborative work, what became available in terms of capacity to move that to the Mountain Valley Pipeline fight. So we have projects that are similar in a lot of ways. Mountain Valley Pipeline is not inevitable. It's not a done deal. It will be a thing of the past at some point. I feel very strongly it will also be canceled. And I am so appreciative for all the communities that have been fighting so hard for their neighbors that keep that work going. And it's really a special part of this too, the folks that you get to meet and work with along the way. Just remarkable people who you may not have otherwise had the opportunity to meet. So that's a really special component of it too, that a project from a developer that has so much power within Virginia, power in the legislative space, policy, and even in other spaces not related to energy, just their presence in Virginia, especially in the Richmond area where I live, is very present at all times. It's just amazing to reflect back on how that collective power of everybody along the route and our North Carolina neighbors and West Virginia neighbors all fighting brought the demise of that project.
Well, yes, and fingers crossed for, the Mountain Valley Pipeline. It really does take a village and take that collaboration. I know that folks I've spoken with have, taken it on the legislative side. And then, of course, we had boots on the ground for ACP, activists and protesters, and then also from people from a shareholder's perspective and, investors on that side. So again, it really does take a big group of people. And I have met, like you, some incredible people along the way. And so tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the current organizing that you're a part of with, at Voices and other groups in the fight against the MVP.
Yeah. So an important part of that is keeping Mountain Valley Pipeline in conversation and broadening the audience who knows about it, learns about it, wants to join the fight. So Appalachian Voices has been deeply involved in supporting and working with communities fighting Mountain Valley Pipeline since it was announced in 2014. And so I get to participate in a lot of great cross-state collaboration. My teammate in North Carolina, who is also a field coordinator, Ridge Graham, get to work with him and other partners, both on MVP Mainline and the proposed MVP Southgate extension. And lots of the amazing groups who have put a number of years into this fight. It's really exciting to keep an audience growing and keep increasing the numbers of folks we're connecting with about this issue, because when folks learn about it, it's very eye-opening and they are just supportive and wanting to connect on the issue and let, to learn what they can do. And one of the most important components of that has been our ability to work with and support and partner with and appreciate the Power Coalition, which is the collection of directly impacted communities that are fighting Mountain Valley Pipeline and represents the counties along the Virginia route. Organizing through Appalachian Voices has a lot of different components to it. It's educational outreach. It's talking to community members, learning from community members. There's online items, petitions, social media, policy work within the legislative space. There's work within the regulatory spaces. There's an opportunity to bring creative ways to talk about the issue. We love the opportunity to partner with other groups like Wild Virginia and Artivism Virginia. Large collaborative in-person or even virtual events have been a big part of the organizing. And just keeping people connected and talking about this issue and supporting each other is a big part of the work.
I know that, especially after COVID-19, these sort of virtual events have made things more accessible to a different group of people that maybe could not attend some of the in-person things. And, you know, recently, I know that Chesapeake Climate Action Network did a pretty large comment party, because public comment is also another piece to the puzzle when it comes to fighting pipeline infrastructure and these types of projects. And so the deadline just passed for FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. MVP had asked for 4 more years to complete the project. And so while that deadline has passed, what's next? And do we know what's next in the fight against the MVP?
That's a great question. The comment period has closed. And although it has closed, you can always submit items into the docket. It is a publicly stated perspective that FERC does continue to look at what's coming in. So I would encourage folks to, if you have something relevant, something that needs to be shared, continue submitting into the docket. I think there's a couple of things for what's next. One of that is the continued collaboration on MVP mainline organizing and MVP Southgate organizing. So just this past Saturday, Seven Directions of Service and the Dan Riverkeeper are working together to have a cleanup event in Chatham, Virginia, to keep that cross-state collaboration happening. And this is for the Bannister River. Seven Directions of Service is a really fantastic indigenous-led group from North Carolina who have been very supportive to both the Southgate and Mainline fight. So those types of events are going to keep happening all through summer and fall. We'll also likely see a comment period related to the U.S. Forest Service authorization that's currently vacated for Mountain Valley Pipeline. So there will be another opportunity for you to weigh in and to talk about why it's so important to protect our public lands and share your concerns about Mountain Valley Pipeline. This is a topic that is getting national attention at this time as we are seeing such drastic things happening in the climate, and folks across the country are wanting to know about projects that would impact our climate negatively and how they can connect. So we see in the national conversation, Mountain Valley Pipeline has been making the news recently. There will be more community-led events this fall. And so I think it will remain a very active time. Part of what you mentioned before with the comment party, and you know, we worked with Wild Virginia and Power and Seven Directions of Service to host one a little bit earlier in the month. But those types of tutorials and what CCAN did this past week are so helpful in just understanding processes that can seem very and are very opaque and not very easy to navigate in the way in which they're designed. So we'll continue to have educational events that make this process and the ability to weigh in more accessible. So I would say, you know, stay in touch with organizations fighting this project like Appalachian Voices, Wild Virginia, Power. And part of what Power does is, and you mentioned earlier, monitoring that goes on. So citizen monitoring is something that has been really crucial to both the ACP and the Mountain Valley Pipeline fight. And so that's another way to connect is to sign up to be a volunteer with Mountain Valley Watch. That's one of the things we are really excited by, the work, the very important work that they are doing. And Appalachian Voices is very happy to get the chance to support that and talk about the great work that's going on there. That's really those eyes on the ground, like you mentioned previously. I think there's always a great time, any time is a great time to keep talking about Mountain Valley Pipeline and how harmful it's been to the water resources and communities along the route, how many hundreds of violations, over 300 violations of water quality within Virginia, millions of dollars in fines. This is a great time to submit a letter to the editor on the topic, to call your elected official and let them know you're thankful that they submitted a comment into the docket, or to share concerns with them about why you think they should be paying attention to this and why the project must not go forward. Your concerns about its impacts to cumulative greenhouse gas emissions and what MVP would be in terms of the adding to the national amount of emissions. MVP's greenhouse gas emissions would be the equivalent of 23 coal-fired power plants. So we're talking about something that has already harmed West Virginia and Virginia, a water disaster in the present and a climate disaster if operational.
Well said. And I feel like that really helps people to visualize the addition that this project would, you know, harm our climate goals and really trying to move this country forward in a renewable energy direction. So you listed a couple of organizations that listeners should follow and join email list and check out events and just stay tuned for, you know, what's coming next. So App Voices, Artivism Virginia, CCAN, Power. So any others that you would want to mention here?
Yeah, I would say too, especially with Power, they have a really fantastic newsletter. That's a great way to really get an overview of what's going on in different events. Seven Directions of Service, if you're especially wanting to know about the Southgate fight, West Virginia Rivers Coalition, to see the great work that they're doing there and to consider getting the Stream app that they've developed so you can help with citizen monitoring. And yeah, the other groups, Sierra Club, going through the list, there's so many great groups that have been just integral to all of this. If there's a particular side of it you're most interested in, Oil Change International has done a lot of great work around MVP and the Wilderness Society. I mean, you really have really great options, lots of wonderful groups that are doing years of hard work to raise these issues. And yeah, I think a great place to start is visit appvoices.org or connect with us on social media and then go sign up for Power's newsletter.
Wonderful. And so, Jessica, I really appreciate you joining me today just to talk about your perspective. I think sharing these stories about the folks really doing so much essential work for this fight is so important. And so I thought that we could close off with a personal story that really gives you motivation for this fight, if you have one for us today.
Yeah, there is a impacted community member in Giles County that I think about a lot. That's just a really special person and has had their property really negatively impacted by the construction efforts of Mountain Valley Pipeline. And I reflect on everything that she's had to deal with and so many others. And the opportunity to give support to her or someone else in this fight is a great motivator. I sort of considered myself a late bloomer in a lot of ways. And so to have an opportunity years and years into working and to get to kind of switch gears and switch careers and work on these issues every day is a real blessing. And to go back to what we talked about before, the incredible people that you meet in working on these issues and working to fight new fossil fuel infrastructure, that motivates me every day.
Thank you for sharing that. I know, like you, I feel a bit like a late bloomer. I started with Wild Virginia in 2015, and I had done previous nonprofit work outside of the environmental fight. And so it was always the landowners, specifically, you know, starting with the ACP and now the MVP, that really just make you really feel the impacts of what you're doing. And if you, you know, especially working virtually, you're behind a screen and sometimes you don't see those immediate impacts of, you know, all the commenting, all of the communications to your memberships and just trying to get, you know, folks mobilized. The landowners is, you know, really where you see those impacts. So thank you so much for sharing that. And with that, folks, that is our episode with Jessica Sims. I really appreciate you joining us today. Everyone needs to go check out all those partners that we listed, and we'll be sure to link them in the show notes. But in the meantime, for more information on what we're doing in the fight against the Mountain Valley Pipeline and to protect Virginia's water future, you can visit www.wildvirginia.org. Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Wild Virginia Coffee Talk. For more information on our campaigns, please visit www.wildvirginia.org. Stay wild, Wild Virginians.